the deadliest station in town, 89.7 PBA FM. Yes, you are. You're on the deadliest station in town on PBA FM. You're on Feel Good Nunga Radio. We've got a special guest in the studio with us right now. We've got our new, is it CEO or what do we call you, manager or a guru or?
Let's go with all of the above. look, you know, the paperwork that I got said that I was the CEO. I like to think that it's more appropriate to say station manager. I think it makes more sense, really.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm going with. But, yeah.
Welcome, Indy Wood.
Cheers.
No worries. How you settling in, man? How's it feeling?
Oh, look, you know, every new experience takes some time to kind of find your feet and work out who's who and what's what and, you know, where you're going. But, no, look, there's some great stuff going on here for sure. There's some really good content getting made. There's some, you know, great music being played. And there's plenty of people who come in and want to do it and love being here. So, you know, like, you're starting off on the right foot for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got a good bunch here. As the community knows and the mob know here, this has only sort of been going for 18 months, this program. So this is still a bit of a baby, this program here. So now an award-winning program, which is fantastic.
Well, that's good to hear. I don't know if I've said anything about this on air yet in a couple of little visits I've had to the studio, but this Indigenous content, Indigenous broadcasting is a real passion of mine, and it's my background. It's what I've done for the last sort of few years. You know, I've been focused in this area. So it was certainly a draw card for me to come and take this role when I saw that there was an Indigenous program happening on air. It was like, right, okay, they're making a step in the right direction for sure. So, it's cool.
Absolutely. Mm. Tell us a bit about that. You just come back from Fitzroy Crossing.
Yes.
You was over there, station manager. Tell us a bit about what you was doing over there.
So I was there for 2 years. And I, as the manager of Wongi Radio in Fitzroy Crossing, you're doing it all, really. You're running the show. You live and work on site at the radio station. So you're at work basically 7 days a week, and there's always going to be someone at your door wanting to ask you about something or wanting help with something or, you know, chasing a feed or a drink or whatever it is, you know. It's just part and parcel of remote community,
That's community, mate. Yeah, that's mob, absolutely.
Humbug happens, and you just got to work out how to deal with it. Sometimes you say yes and sometimes you say no. You just got to work out how to balance it, you know.
But in
the 2 years I was there, I was chasing funding opportunities for different program ideas, training staff. There's a couple of really, well, there's a handful at least of really, really passionate and excited broadcasters in that place. I like to think that Wongi Radio punches above its weight all the time. As a station that has a team of 10 people who are on air every day of the week, you know, we were winning awards, for national awards for news and current affairs. We were doing all sorts of amazing stuff. At one point, one of the guys, two of the guys who were involved in the local council, like the city of Salisbury, but up there, came to the door and said, this COVID thing's looking like a real issue. We've got to work out what we can do locally to make sure mob know what's going on, how serious this is and what we need to do about it, basically. And they were saying, as members of the council, as Shire members, we have a responsibility to try and do something about this, right? Yeah. So these two blokes come and they did half an hour a day, 5 days a week, a bit like what we've just listened to with Weekly News and Review, half an hour of COVID-based current affairs that was focused just on Fitzroy Crossing. So they'd talk to local shop owners, local workers, local community members, local elders, anyone that was relevant in the community, they'd be talking to them about what their concerns were, what they're doing as a community, how it works. And they took out a national award for COVID reporting, you know, and got recognised by the ABC for doing amazing work and all sorts of stuff, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that a community of that size, and we're talking a community of 1,100 people, right?
It's not
a big town.
No,
absolutely. And you've got hundreds of kilometres, thousands of kilometres of nothing around you, basically. It's desert. And these guys were really into it. They were passionate. They were excited. They were doing great stuff. So, yeah, it was really easy at times to be excited about being there and passionate about the job. But then at the same time, as I said before, you're working 7 days a week. You just don't get a break unless you leave town for a couple of days.
Yep.
So you do 2 to 3 years, and it seems to be a pattern. Every manager that goes in there does 2 to 3 years, and then they've hit a wall. They just go, I've done what I can, and I'm no longer excited by the work, which means I'm just going to get grumpy and angry, and why would I continue to do this if I'm not doing what the people need and want, you know?
Yes.
So that was where I got to. I did a couple of years, and we did a whole lot of great stuff, and then I got tired. I just went, you know what? I need to work out what's next for me.
Yeah.
And so now here I am, and it's a different, whole different kettle of fish. It's all different people and different challenges we face. And, you know, so now the attitude comes up, the motivation comes up, and we start again and go, right, what do we do here? How do we do it, you know?
Like, so absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was going to sort of be the flow-on question for me, actually, anyways, after that. But it sounds like you've done a lot of good stuff there. When you sort of looked at the job to come here, you obviously would have had something in mind to go, well, okay, this is where they're at. This is what I want to do. Give us some ideas about what you've got in mind for PBA. What sort of drew you here? Not just because of this program. Where did you see that you go like, well, I'd really like to maybe try this there or do this or what do you have in mind?
There's a couple of things that I kind of bring to a job in every job that I do.
Yep.
And it was interesting because looking at your program grid and looking at the promotional material that I could see online, I could see two gaps that were really obvious for me, and they're things that I do in every job I do. One of them is youth.
Yes.
I do everything I can in every job I have in this industry to try and get young people into the station.
Yes.
And why do I do that? Because I started in radio when I was 8 years old, right? It's been my thing for my whole life.
Yeah.
So I want to see young people interested and inspired.
Mm.
And I don't care if they come in here for an hour and play a whole lot of music that a whole lot of people don't really like, and they don't have the nerves to talk a lot and they're just playing music. If they're coming in and showing interest in being in the space and seeing what others do, then that's step one. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's one thing that I am going to do everything I can. We have the good fortune of being in a building. We share a building with the 1225 Youth Services here.
Perfect spot, isn't it?
So hopefully we can develop a relationship with those guys and get some of those youth characters involved in stuff.
Yep.
Go out and meet with a whole lot of the schools.
Yep.
I don't care if it's high school or primary. You know, if you've got a group of school kids somewhere that are going to be interested in reading stuff out of the newsletter they write every week, or telling us stories about excursions they go on with school, or playing music they're into, then I'm into it. Let's make, you know, an hour a day, 5 days a week, about young people having their chance to play in a radio studio. I think that's got to be one of the big things that I want to see happen all the time.
Mm.
The other thing that I'm really passionate about, and I know that you do a bit of this stuff, but getting the radio station out in the street, present in the community, doing live broadcasts.
Yep.
So when I say I do a live broadcast, I like to think that we play hardly any, if any, music.
Yes.
It's basically about being at an event and grabbing that person that's walking past and talking to them for 5 minutes
about why
they're here, grabbing that person who's coordinated the event and finding out what
the
event's about, and just having a series of really interesting conversations about what's going on in town and why people should come and be there, you know?
Mm.
So I want to see us do as much of that kind of community engagement, community involvement as possible. One of the biggest mistakes that radio stations all over Australia make, and it's particularly problematic with stations like us here at PBA, is we're situated right in the middle of the kind of business district of a suburb.
Yes.
So the assumption gets made all the time by the people involved that people walk past, they're going to see the sign, they're going to walk in and be interested.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No.
If you're not there on the street, in the uniform, with the banners, doing stuff and making people see radio happen, people don't even think about the idea.
They don't even know it's there,
right?
A lot of the times.
Yeah. So you have to embrace those challenges that we have of like, okay, we're so low on the FM frequency that people skip past us and don't even know that 89.7 exists, right? It's so far down the banner that people don't even realize it exists.
Mm.
We have to work out how to work past that, and the way we do it is by being seen in the street all the time. So I'd say they're the two things that I'm really passionate about. The other thing that the management committee have said they want to see happen, and I can see a reason for this as well, is they want to see me work in any way I can to try and bring in as much new sponsorship as possible.
Yes.
You know, if there's businesses out there that like what they hear, then maybe they want to support us and, and try and get some more money into the station because I'm incredibly fortunate. You're incredibly fortunate. We're both two of the people in this place who actually get paid to do what we love.
Yep.
Most of the people here are volunteers. So, but those roles that we have that are paid come with a cost for the station.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to be bringing profit in to justify the existence.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
So that's the kind of, I've got to do that. That's the thing that I have to do.
Yeah.
And you know, we know that. So yeah, I mean, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm in Adelaide, because I want to see this place making great radio, you know? And we do. But we play a lot of music, and there's an opportunity to do a whole lot of other stuff that's not music
as well.
So yeah, I think that's really important. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. No, that sounds fantastic, and looking forward to seeing what's coming on in the next 12 months with PBA FM as well. So, and also, if there are any sponsors out there who would like to sponsor our program, you can get in touch with Indy anytime during the week, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Yep.
You can give us a call on 8250 3735 and have a chat with him, or come in and sit down and have a coffee with him and meet you and meet Gus.
Yeah,
and have a chat about sponsoring this great station as well. So
absolutely. And the other thing I'd say is, you know, if you've been sitting listening to Cal over the last 18 months and you're enjoying what you hear, then maybe you want to consider looking at becoming a member of the station.
Yeah.
You know, and becoming a member can mean, if you want it to, it can mean doing some training, learning how to do the stuff, and then putting your own program together that has some amazing niche field, you know, great blues program, jazz program, reggae program, whatever.
Yeah.
You could do that sort of thing. Or maybe it just means becoming a member because you want to support the fact that we exist.
Yes.
And you're making a donation to the station every year to keep us on air.
Yeah. And it's just about community and community spirit again, isn't it, really? You know, supporting local community, local things like we do, supporting the local one of the things, that the Christmas carol's coming up this week, you know, we're going to be out there this week, you know, and floating around in our little PBA shirts and taking some photos for the station as well, and getting a lot more into the community as well.
Hey,
so,
you know, one thing just came to mind that I think is really important, because I don't think anyone on PBA has mentioned this today.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong about that, but I haven't heard it. Today happens to be International Day for people that volunteer.
Volunteers, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole lot of amazing volunteers involved in community radio that like to inform us and educate us and entertain us on all sorts of stuff.
Mm.
And a whole lot of them come in here every day and do all this great radio.
Yep.
And you guys all get to listen to it and enjoy the fact that it's happening. And, you know, I think it's important for us to recognise the 50-plus volunteers that are in here every week and do a whole lot of great stuff. So,
and a lot of people, you know, maybe they do realise or they don't, but how much work actually goes on behind the scenes as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we come in here and do our shows, but you've got a week of researching, you've got a week of chasing up interviews, you've got a week of putting the program together.
Hours do you think you've done this week just getting this one ready?
It takes me a week to get
right.
It usually takes me a week once I sort of get together and put everything together and going, okay, what am I doing? This, I'm sort of, you know, really sort of brainstorming 3 or 4 days out before, you know, or even okay, see you next week. Okay, let's switch on again. What am I going to do next week? Something's different that's new as well. So,
fresh. You came to me 2 weeks ago and invited me to come in tonight.
Yeah,
so, you know, like you were already thinking about this show that far out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yep. And we got some more great stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks as well. And we've got a big announcement about next year about a huge competition, but we're just going to we're going to keep that one under wraps for a little bit now. But so stay tuned for that one, people and everyone.
Applications for UniSA's Aboriginal Pathway Program are now open. The program is for us, Aboriginal students, so that we can study together as a community. It's an 18-month fee-free foundation program that gives you everything you need to kickstart your future UniSA degree. Age is no limit, and you don't need any previous qualifications or experience. Start your pathway to your unstoppable career. Apply now. Google UniSA Aboriginal Pathway.
Station sponsor.
For lovers of fresh produce and fine food, visit your local Tony and Mark store and support SA family businesses. Over 45 years of experience and providing South Australians with the freshest of local produce, gourmet treats, beautiful flower arrangements and so much more. The family tradition is providing top quality produce and service to SA families. Can't make it in the store? Shop online. Visit our website, shop.tonyandmarks.com.au. Expect more at Tony and Mark's.
Station sponsor.
I'm Dr. Hendrika Meyer with a message about our emergency departments. The ED is here to deal with emergencies like heart attack or stroke, and we're always here if you need us. But for gastro or flu, consider seeing a GP. For minor cuts or grazes, try your local pharmacy. And for a cold, you might just need rest. If it's not an emergency, visit sahealth.sa.gov.au for other care options. And let's keep our emergency departments for emergencies.
A message from the Government of South Australia.
All right, welcome back to Feel Good Nunga Radio, you mob. This is the deadliest station in town, in the whole world, possibly even the universe.
let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with it. Yeah, we're here with Indy Wood Station, PBA's new station manager.
Let's go with that.
Go that one instead of the CA, so it doesn't fit right. It's a station manager. Yeah, it's better. Indy's worked across a lot of the remote regions over in WA the last few years with some of the Indigenous communities and radio out there as well. So we had a bit of a chat before about what you were sort of doing out there. What was the sort of community's take on that? Did they sort of like, they really supported about the stations out in those regions?
Look, the one in Fitzroy Crossing has been running for 30 years.
Yeah.
And the whole community just genuinely believe that they own and operate the whole thing. You know, it is
is
an Aboriginal corporation that runs it, and they are members, and, you know, and they're constantly interested in and involved in what the station's doing. You know, like, as the manager, you can expect to have people ring up and complain when you're playing stuff they don't like, to ring up and compliment when you're playing stuff they do. You know, like, they're involved in it, right?
Yeah.
And you think about...
Well, they're invested in it, really, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, for lots of people, that radio station is the only source of information,
yeah,
the only entertainment they have for the whole community. There's no... In lots of situations, there's no mobile phone reception.
Yeah.
There's no internet.
Mm.
You know, they're lucky if they might have a TV at home, but basically they can guarantee that if they're going to put fuel in the motor car and go from community to community, they'll be able to pick up the radio station in the car and that'll be the entertainment, you know?
They
live and breathe it.
Yeah.
Before I was in Fitzroy Crossing, it was interesting to hear you play Beds Are Burning because I have a real connection, a real attachment to that song.
Yep.
Before I was in Fitzroy Crossing, I spent 12 months in 2019 in a little tiny community called Irintju. Irintju is a community of 150 people, maybe.
Yeah.
On the Nandra Indigenous lands.
Mm.
Us white fellas like
Nandra,
to...
give us a bit of a geographical sort of spot.
Us white fellas like to refer to it as Surveyor General's Corner, where WA, Northern Territory and South Australia all meet on the map.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yep.
That point.
Yep.
So we were... Irintju is 3.5 hours drive west of Uluru.
Mm.
So people can fly into Yulara to the resort town at Uluru.
Yeah.
And then they get in a car and they drive sort of 3.5 hours through the desert to this tiny little community. And it has... of all things, this massive media centre in there that has a state-of-the-art radio station, television studios, recording studio to record live music, the whole bit. It's a really amazing thing for this tiny little town. I was the radio coordinator there, is the name, what my title was, and I was responsible for travelling through the desert over... There's 15 radio studios in tiny little communities like Urintu across the Ngandjeri lands through the desert.
Wow.
So I would spend a week, a month in the car and go from community to community and teach people how to use the studios, train new broadcasters up, repair any damage, any of that sort of stuff. The reason that I talk about beds are burning, though,
yeah,
is because 2019, of course, meant that I was fortunate enough to be on those lands in that space when they decided to close the climb on Uluru.
Okay, yeah.
So we broadcast live from that event at Uluru. I was running around the crowd at that event interviewing people that were there, tour guides, tourists, anyone that was there that wanted to tell us what they thought, why they were there, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And Pete Garrett got up and played that song.
Wow.
At that event, right? And Shane Howard got up and played Solid Rock.
That would have been bloody spine tingling, mate.
Life changing.
Yeah,
mate.
Goosebumps.
To be
stuff.
There and to have driven past it for the days prior and watched this procession of morons climb that rock because they had to for the last chance possible.
Yeah.
You know, and then to watch it close and be there and see the Chief Minister of the Northern Territory announce that it was closed and then see all these amazing artists do all this amazing stuff was just life-changing. That will stick with me for the rest of my life. That was incredible. So every time I hear that song, I just have this flash of
flashback.
Man, that was – I was there. That's right. Like, wow.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. And Shane's a great advocate, and Shane's we've had Shane on here a few times actually. We speak to Shane quite often on here as well too, about their 40th anniversary of Spirit of Place, which is happening this year,
and he's touring at the moment. Yeah,
touring at the moment, as you know. So we've had Shane on here for a couple of times.
Awesome.
So he's just fantastic to have a chat to as well. But that would have been absolutely bloody goosebumps, mate, standing there.
So there you go. That's why I was getting all excited when you were playing that song because, seriously, amazing.
Yeah. So I know that we've got a bit of a background. So where are you actually an Adelaide fella?
No, mate, I'd never set foot in South Australia before I took this job. So
you've always sort of lived out bush or around that way?
So I grew up in the Bega Valley, where Bega cheese is from,
on Queensland.
the very far south coast of New South Wales.
Yes,
near the Victorian border. So I grew up in that region, coastal kid, right on the beach.
Yeah.
Went to school there, all that stuff, and then chuffed off to Melbourne for 15 years to study and start working and stuff after high school.
Mm.
And then from there I've travelled and spent 12 months in a role like this, managing a radio station in Fiji.
Wow.
And then 2 and a bit years in a community called Taree, which is north of Sydney.
Yep.
And then off to the desert, like I was just talking about, for a bit, and then out to Fitzroy Crossing for the last couple of years. So, I've moved around, and, you know, when the job opportunity comes up, then I'll take it. I have to say that I've been ready for at least the last 3 years to find somewhere that I'm going to settle and stay longer than just a couple of years.
Yep.
You know, I'm ready to stop, man. I haven't got a social circle anymore because all my mates are all over the bloody country. And so, you know, I'm ready to be in one spot and make new friends and kind of, you know, ground myself, I guess. I hope that I'm here for a while, you know. I don't think you'll be getting rid of me anytime soon, basically.
We might find you sitting in here propped up in the chair, bloody killed over or something. Bloody spiders and spider webs all over you. But it's the country out there, you know. When, for people that sort of haven't been out there though, to get that I've been out there a lot of times, and I absolutely love it out there. You know, it's been a long time since I've been out that way, though, too, and getting that red dirt between the toes and all that sort of stuff. But the people that have never been out there and experienced what life is like out there, how would you sort of sum it up?
Well, I think one of the most amazing things that you just don't realise is that...
how bloody awesome it is.
Well, yeah. So you think about, if you go and stand on the coast here, you know, the understanding is that the naked eye can see like 13 k's out to sea, right?
Yep.
If you're in Adelaide, you've got buildings in the way.
Yes.
If you're standing on the shore, you're looking at ocean, and that's all you see, right?
Yep.
When you're out in the desert, and there's nothing taller than you, and you can see 13 Ks down the road, everything, it's just eye-opening. There's just stuff everywhere, and the landscape changes and morphs, and the colours change, and, you know, like, it's just incredible. It's a whole different world.
A lot of people don't realise it. They think it's just sort of like red dirt and that's it out there and dead bushes. They don't actually realise how colourful the desert can be. Of the desert flowers and everything,
grasses
out there.
And all sorts of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
The other thing that I hadn't realised until I got out there was that, like, coming here, travelling from Fitzroy Crossing, coming here, it wasn't until I actually hit the South Australian border that I was in a situation where I was just seeing desert grasses.
Yeah.
For the rest of the journey, all the way down to Central Australia, there were trees. It was like, it wasn't what you expect out of what you've seen in movies as far as desert. Mm. You know, there's trees on all through there. It's a different landscape. So, look, it's life changing. When I as I said, I spent 12 months in Fiji. And I was shocked that when I arrived in Irintu, tiny little community of 150 people, the culture shock of me walking into that landscape and people around me all speaking local language that I'd never heard before, and none of them speaking English at all, the culture shock of that experience was so much stronger than me arriving in Fiji.
Yeah.
When I arrived in Fiji, I'd never been overseas before. And I landed in Fiji thinking, oh my God, is this just going to be full on?
Yeah.
But I'd imagine it's a bit like going to Bali. Everyone spoke English.
Yes.
You know? And so there was no real culture shock for me at all.
Mm.
There was different foods and there was different drinks and there was different kind of habits and you got used to that.
Like buildings and whatever,
It looked a bit different.
Yeah.
But you could navigate that landscape without any real nerves at all.
Yeah.
When I landed in desert, they were all speaking a different language.
Yeah.
They were all speaking straight up gibberish as far as my ears were concerned, And I had to work out how to navigate that.
Yeah.
And it was a shock. Mm. And also, the town was 150 people. It was like three dirt dust streets. That was it, right? No sealed roads. And I grew up in the country. I thought landing there, I've grown up in the country. My parents have worked in Indigenous communities.
Yeah.
You know, I know what Aboriginal people are like. I know it all about, right? I get it.
Yeah.
But there, I was just like, I'm an idiot. I'm a straight up idiot. I knew it all and I was okay.
Yeah.
But I wasn't.
Yeah.
It was rubbish.
Yeah.
So,
And it is, but it's got this amazing effect on you. I remember the first time I actually went out through the APY lands. I was actually working for, I don't know if you know, there's the local art centre here, which is actually the first one in Australia which is the National Indigenous Cultural Centre called Tandanya. It's in Grenfell Street.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't been up there, get up there and have a bit of a look at it. It was the first one in Australia. It was actually opened by Yothu Yindi.
Right.
Back in 1989.
Yeah, right. There you go.
And and I used to work there, and we actually used to go up to the art centres up there, you know, in Abella and Armitage and Dalkana and all those sort of places and all around right through the centre there. And I went up there and it was the same. I've known about my culture my whole life, and that's it. But I've known it as a city kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never sort of been up there, but it was really funny though too, because when I went up there and I first went up there, you know, I went up there with these non-Indigenous people, and they said to me, well, you got to do this, and 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 this is the way it's up there, like that.
Mm.
And I'm going, wow, this is a bit strange for me. I don't know how am I supposed to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a non-Indigenous person telling me how I should act around Aboriginal people.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know? I sort of felt really off balance about that, you know? I just didn't really sort of like go, these people are telling me how to act around my own people.
Yeah.
And it was really strange. So anyways, we sort of went up there and went up there and the group sort of, all these people that were sort of going up there. They're the people that go up there that try to help, and they, you know, they just
sort of work in the community.
They work in the community sort of things and that sort of things. And they're always sort of just sort of kept at that little bit of arm's length, you know what I mean, with some of the stuff that happens there, you know. And there's only certain ones that they'll bring into the community sort of things like that, you know. And obviously that it will have that connection with community as well. And it was fantastic. They just brought me in. But what was funny about it is, too, is like when I got there, I thought, holy shit, this is a whole different world, you know. It felt like there was a whole different set of rules. There was a whole different sort of way that people, there was a pecking order as well in these communities.
There's all this cultural and tradition.
There's this tradition there too, you know. And it was like, it was the first time that I actually went to a community and I went, holy hell, I felt privileged, but I also felt a bit scared. I felt a bit, didn't know how it was sort of react.
You're uncertain.
But you would have had
a very different experience in that to those white fellas that went with you, because I tell you now, like I had, and this was, I don't know why this was a shock, but it was a shock to me. The guy who was the IT guy in the job that I was out in the desert there was this, like, blonde hair, blue eye. You know, the only thing that gave you any indication that he might have been an Indigenous lad was his nose. He had an Indigenous nose. You know, I could see it straight away, right? It's like, this kid's Indigenous, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, actually, get a what they call the albino kids that are very, very, very fair and have got white hair and everything.
So this bloke's rocking around town.
Yeah.
And He'd arrived after me. He knew less people in town and all that sort of stuff. But as soon as he said to anyone who his mob was, where he was from, he was in.
Yes.
And he was instantly a part of that group and a part of that community.
Yep.
And he had all these, like, family around him, and he was in amongst it. And I just had to step back and let that happen and watch that happen.
Yeah.
And, that was amazing.
Yeah, and that's what they do. That's it. That's exactly the same as what happened with me as well then too, you know, is that when I got back, when I got there, they just took me in, which was absolutely fantastic as well. And, you know, they just show you and teach you. And I was up there probably for a week. On and off, I'd go up there for a week and so and stuff like that, and it was just the most amazing experience. And that land, when they say the power of that land, you know, it's just got that thing that just I kept going back for years, years and years. You know, like yourself, you'd go there for a little while, and end up staying 2 or 3 years, and then you're off to another community
and
as
you
well.
So you go back and listen to a whole lot of those songs you've been listening to your whole life,
like.
The Midnight Oil tracks, or the Goanna
tracks,
or whatever,
or the Rumpy Band,
and hear those references in those songs that you've noticed your whole life, but you didn't really pay any attention.
Yep.
And suddenly you're experiencing that stuff yourself, and you go, "Wow, okay, that makes sense on a whole other level." All of a sudden,
yeah,
you know, what they said there had real meaning. And it's different. It's not what you think it is at all. It's just incredible. So, look, if you get the opportunity, go and do it. Would be my recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I've been up there with the art scene and that before, and I haven't been up there for a long time now. Mm. So, but I'd like to get up there again for a visit one day and actually take the wife up there.
But I guess
it's
also important to say, don't for a second think that it's okay to rock in as a tourist. You know, you go there to work with the people and do things, and you're going to need a permit to enter the lands, all that sort of stuff. So if you get the opportunity, if you get invited into that space and you get the opportunity to go and do some work with them, support them in some way.
Absolutely.
Do it.
I know. And it is, absolutely, people, if you're out there and you want to get into it, it's a life-changing thing that you go to. I've actually had friends and other people that have gone up to these places and they've lived there and they're still there.
Yeah.
25 years later, you know, they don't want to come back home. So,
I can tell you now that the two jobs that I've just referred to, the radio coordinator at NG Media on the Ngunnawal lands, and the station manager at Wongi Radio in Fitzroy Crossing, those jobs are up for grabs at the moment, mate. So if you want a job,
you want to go bushwalk, we'll see what happens. All right. So you're going to wind it up or... Yep.
I reckon I'll say goodbye let you do the rest of your show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for joining us and coming in tonight. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And we look forward to catching up with you, say, you know, maybe in the new year or something like that, and bringing out some new programs and that as well. And we look forward to bringing some young fellas in here too. And also, while we're speaking about that, you mob out there, just remember we still have our younger Nunga nights here as well. If you've got some young fellas in there, kids in there that want to come in here and host the program for a night and host Feel Good Nunga Radio, come in here, take some photos, bring mum and dad and stuff like that and play your songs. And all you need's, you know, 2 hours worth of music or an hour's worth of music, really. And then I can just talk about whatever they want and talk to their friends and get their friends to give them a call on the telephone.
And come and spend half an hour and just see what it's like.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. More than welcome. So if you want to come and join us for one of our Younger Nunga nights, get in touch with us through our Facebook page or give the station a call on 825-03735 as well. So, Indy, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and really appreciate your time, man, and look forward to working with you over the next coming years.
Pleasure, mate. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thanks, mate.